Foundation, number one, we've got an overview of the story of Gracefield and the providence of God. Last time, lesson number two, we learned about Gracefield's family and how the Gracefield family who grew up in New York, who loved, who served God his entire life. And now in lesson three, we're going to tell you about Gracefield's father, Jacob. To get to know and understand Jacob better, we need to understand his father. So I hope you enjoy today's lesson and are able to learn some comments about Jacob that can improve your walk with God. Thank God. I'm thankful for the stories of you this morning that always speak to us. And I thank you for the story of a man who took the mold of a driven man and a determined to succeed. A lot of us have similar characteristics to Jacob. And he's enabled himself to the top by hook or crook through shrewd and crafty measures. If you remember God's promise to Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob's parents, verses 25-23, one people shall be stronger than the other. The older Esau, the son of the man, the pastor of Christ, shall serve the younger Jacob. God predicted that Jacob would be the leader among the few, and he was. The problem with Jacob was the methods he used to achieve the success that God had promised him. Each time Jacob seemed to have a genuine desire and a capacity for spiritual things. And he kept sabotaging that capacity by his final actions. And they say, Jacob desired the blessing of his father Isaac to be the spiritual leader that God wanted him to be. But he secured a trickery. Jacob desired the birthright that was his, but fear secured it by his deceit. That is kind of how it goes for some of us. We are promised eternal life, eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior, through faith. And we want to secure it by our own means, not believing that it is already done. Four things happened as a result of Jacob trying to make something happen instead of waiting on God to bring it about. First, Isaac, Jacob's father, got what he deserved. Isaac loved his outdoorsman son Esau for the wrong reason. Instead of listening to God's plan for Jacob, he blessed Jacob for the wrong reason. He turned the turmoil he experienced. Second, Esau got what he deserved, giving up his birthright for a bowl of stew. His priorities were obviously misplaced. Third, Jacob was forced to spend 20 years in exile as a result of his deceiving ways and unwillingness to trust God's timing and plan. And fourth, Rebecca lost the son she loved most. And helping Jacob be deceitful, he never saw him again as the request for his life from Esau. And they say all the members of this family reap what they sow. In the sermon, we will study Jacob's life in terms of four major crises he experienced. Jacob was told by his mother, Rebecca, to flee from Esau's wrath by going to Haran. And soon was Laban, Rebecca's brother, until it was safe for him to return. A trip of 450 miles that lasted 20 years. God wanted to have a trusting relationship with Jacob, where deceit and lies was not a culture. So as we shall see, it took four major crises for Jacob to establish the relationship that God wanted to have with Jacob. Have you noticed, as I have, that God sends crises in our lives to get us in the relationship with God that we really want to develop? Number one, the crisis that happens. Written by death, by the wrath of Esau, taken out from his father's home, the fugitive, as he carried with him his father's blessing. And it was with a deeply troubled heart that Jacob set out on his long journey. He feared that he had lost forever the blessing that God had purposed to give him. The evening on the second day found him far away from his father's camp. He felt that he was an outcast, and he knew that all this trouble had been brought upon him by him, by his own wrong cause. The darkness of despair pressed upon his soul, and he hardly dared to pray. And he was so utterly lonely that he felt the need to God's protection as never before. With weeping and humiliation, he confessed his sin and asked God for some evidence that he was not utterly forsaken. God had not forsaken Jacob. His mercy was extended to his erring and distrustful servant. The Lord compassionately revealed what Jacob needed, and that was his Savior. Jacob really needed a Savior. Weary with his journey, the wanderer lay down upon the ground with a stone for his soul. As he slept, he beheld a ladder bright and shining, whose base rested on earth, while the top reached to heaven. Upon this ladder, angels were ascending and descending. Above it was the Lord God, and from heaven his voice could be heard. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and of God of Isaac. The land whereupon he lay, as an exile fugitive, was promised to him and his posterity. With the assurance that he and in thy seed shall all families of earth be blessed. This promise had been given to Abraham and to Isaac, and now it was renewed to Jacob. And in regard to his present loneliness and distress, the words of comfort and encouragement were spoken. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. In his mercy, God opened up to Jacob the future, that he might understand the divine purpose of reference to himself, and to be prepared to resist the temptations that were surely come to him, and alone in the idolatry and sinning man. In this vision, the plan of redemption was revealed to Jacob, not fully, but in such parts as were essential to him at the time. The mystery God revealed to him in his dream was the same to which Christ referred in his conversation with Nathanael. Said Jesus, and you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, John 1:51. Up to the time of man's rebellion against the government of God, there had been a free communication between God and man. But the sin of Adam and Eve separated earth from heaven, so that man could not have communion with his Maker. The latter represented Jesus, so a mounted medium of communication. God connects man in his weakness and helplessness with God. All this was revealed to Jacob in his dream. When Jacob awoke from his sleep in the stillness of the night, the shining forms of his vision had disappeared, but he had a calm sense that God was with him. Clearly the Lord is in his place, he said, and I knew it not. This is one other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had out for his pillow, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. In accordance with the custom of commemorating important events, Jacob set up a memorial of God's mercy, that whenever he should pass that way, he might carry at his sacred spot to worship the Lord. And he called the place Bethel, the house of God. deep gratitude for receiving that promise that God's presence would be with him and then he made the following promise. That God will be with me and will keep me from this day that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my Father's house in peace and shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will serve you the count unto thee. With a new and abiding faith in the divine promises, and the spirit of the presence and guardianship of heavenly angels, Jacob pursued his journey to Haran. With Jacob the faithful servant to God the rest of his life, and he has more lessons to learn from the crisis that he was further faced. Number two, the crisis at Canaan. After 20 years in Haran, Jacob left the Padan Aram in obedience to the divine instructions. His sin and the deception of his father was ever before him. He knew that the long exile was a direct result of that sin. And he pondered over these things day and night. As he drew near to his journey's end, the thought of Esau brought many a worry. After the flight of Jacob, Esau had regarded himself as the sole heir of his father's possessions. The news of Jacob's return was a slight, the fear that he was going to claim the inheritance. And Esau would be able to do great harm to Jacob in his desire for revenge and to secure possession of the wealth he had so long looked upon as his own. Then the Lord granted Jacob the presence of divine care. As he traveled southward from Mount Gilead, two hosts of heavenly angels came to encompass him from behind and before for their protection. Jacob remembered the vision at Bethel so long before, and his burdened heart delighted at this evidence that the divine messenger who had brought him hope and truth at his flight from Canaan was to be the guardian of his return. And he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of the place, Mahanaim, which means two hosts of two camps. That Jacob felt that he had something to do to secure his own safety. He still didn't have the full faith in God's providence yet. He therefore dispatched messengers with a greeting to his brothers. He instructed them as to the exact words in which they were to address Esau. He had been foretold before the birth of the two brothers that the elders would serve the younger, and at least the memory of this surprised bitterness. Jacob told the servants that they were sent to by the Lord Esau, and when brought before him, they were to refer to their master Jacob as my servant Jacob. As he knew the fear that he was returning the destitute wanderer to claim his eternal inheritance, Jacob was careful to state in his message, "I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent them to my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight." But the servants returned with the news that Esau was approaching with 400 men, and no response was sent to the family message. He feared certain that he was coming to seek revenge. Terror pervaded the camp. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He could not go back, and he was afraid to advance. He accordingly divided them into two bands, so that if one should be attacked, the other might have the opportunity to escape. He sent from his vast flock generous presents to Esau as a friendly message. He did all in his power to avert a threatened danger, and then in a glorious and new threatening, he pleaded for divine protection. Did he do that? God's angels will look at every day, but he forgets that and wants to do it ourselves. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, week he will come and smite me and the mother of my children, and he says, so now reach the river Jabbok, and last night the mom, Jacob sent his family across the river, while he alone remained behind. He decided to spend the night in prayer, and he decided to be alone with God. God could soften the heart of Esau, and then was Jacob's only hope. And we do that, and Jesus was Jacob's only hope. There was a lonely mountainous region. A haunt of robbers and murderers were around. Jacob bowed in deep distress upon the earth. It was midnight, and he was exposed to danger and death. The eternal cries and tears he made his prayer before God. Suddenly, there was a strong hand on him. He thought that an enemy was seeking his life, and he endeavored to wrestle himself from the grasp of his assailant. In darkness, the two struggled for mastery. Not a word was spoken, but Jacob put forth all his strength. He did not relax his efforts for a moment. While he was battling for his life, the sense of his guilt pressed upon his soul. His sins rose before him to shut him out from God. The struggle continued till near the break of day. And the stranger placed his fingers upon his side, and he was crippled and sickened. Jacob knew now the character of his wrestler. He knew that he had been in conflict with the heavenly messenger, and this was why his almost superhuman effort had not gained victory. And the Christ who revealed himself to Jacob. Jacob was now disabled and suffering severe pain, but he would not listen to his soul. All repentant and broken, he clung to the angel, pleading for a blessing. He must have the assurance that his sins were forgiven. The angel tried to release himself and urged, let me go, for the day breaketh. But Jacob answered, I will not let you go except thou bless me. That's what we need to do, to cling to God, cling to Jesus, and cling to the Holy Scriptures. Hosea 12:4 says, Jacob had power over the angel and prevailed. Through humiliation, repentance, and self-surrender, his self-erring mortal prevailed. Sinful erring mortal prevailed with the majesty of heaven. He had fastened his trembling grasp upon the promises of God, and God's heart could not turn away from the sinner's greed. The error that had led to Jacob's sin of obtaining the birthright to his father was now clearly before him and asked for forgiveness. The evidence that he had been forgiven was that his name had been changed from one that was reminded of his sin to one that commemorated his victory. The new name, said the angel, shall be called no more Jacob, the supplanter, but Israel. As a prince, hast thou power with God's command, and hast prevailed. Jacob had received the blessings for which his soul had longed. His sin as a supplanter and defeater had been pardoned. While Jacob was wrestling with his angel, another heavenly messenger was sent to Esau. In the dream, Esau beheld his brother for 20 years in exile from the father's house. He witnessed his grief at finding his mother dead. He saw him encompassed by a host of God. This dream was related by Esau to his soldiers, with the child left behind Jacob, for the God of his father was with him. And the decree was closer than the true God. When Jacob and Esau finally met, they were at peace with each other. Esau invited Jacob to journey with him back to their homeland, Genesis 33:4. Jacob created an excuse to send Esau on ahead. They continued to journey slowly as the traveling was gone. Before this time, he was meeting in the Sierra, but he was holding him at 14. He was back to his old ways 6 days after his encounter with God. And still, as long as he had, he returned to his brother. And he was united with his brother, Jacob went to Sukkot and settled his family there. He faced the mission to Esau to keep the man still. But when he found out that Esau had forgiven him, he was ready to do his own thing again. Jacob eventually moved to Shechem and settled there, which set the stage for Jacob's sons murdering the residents of Shechem and then violated Jacob's father's honor. Genesis 34. And Jacob done what he should have done, returned to Seir with his brother, that terrible tragedy never overcame. Genesis 24. God continued to work with Jacob, telling him to move back to Bethel, where he was first appeared to Jacob when he was coming from his brother Esau, Genesis 35:1. Jacob followed God's instructions and buried all the idols in the ground, and built an altar to God and worshiped God, naming his land all Bethel, God the house of God. God now took precedence in Jacob's mind. Jacob never again returned to his human ways. He had fought with God for his whole life and was now ready to live in the home of his God. What lessons can we learn from Jacob's life? There are three lessons we can learn. After Jacob buried and got rid of all the idols in his encampment, Jacob had a second son of Esau, who was a man named Benjamin. Joseph was about 7 years old at that time when he gained a brother, and he lost his mother Rachel in the process. After the loss of Rachel, Joseph became Jacob's favorite son, because he reminded Jacob of his favorite wife Rachel. This was a huge blow and loss for both Jacob and Joseph, and being put under Jacob's wing as his favorite son. This gave Jacob the opportunity to preach faithfulness to God, and Joseph took those lessons to heart, and as we shall learn, he remained faithful to God and God's plan for him. Lesson number one. God will not spare present pain for the means of eternal profit. God will not spare present pain for the means of eternal profit. God is more concerned with our spiritual growth than our temporal comfort. And often we are concerned with just the opposite. Listen to the prayers we often hear Christians gather to pray. Give us a good week. Give us the money we need. Keep us healthy. Help our church to grow. And those are good things. But sometimes you get the mistaken idea that God's job is to make our lives comfortable and successful. While God does bless us with many things that we pray for, our comfort is not a top priority. Instead, God wants us to be righteous, to have a right relationship with Him. In dealing with Jacob, God did not spare the pain to get him to the place of submission and responsibility. Many of the things God allows in our lives are not designed to make us, are designed to make us uncomfortable in order that we might extend submission to Him. Lesson number two. God will persevere with us when we give, when we have given up on ourselves and on Him. God will persevere with us when we have given up on ourselves and on Him. The principle of Philippians 1:6 is seen here. What God does, we will finish. God does not give up on us, regardless of how long it takes us to start being first in our lives. It is amazing to me that God refers to himself and allows others to refer to him as the promised Jacob, and the new name in the Bible. Instead of being embarrassed by Jacob, God declares himself the God of Jacob, even though Jacob resisted him most of his life. What a powerful testimony for forgiveness. If you are running from God right now, be aware that he is not running from you. If you look over your spiritual shoulder, your life is hidden in pursuit, bringing down on your heart and soul. You may have given up on yourself, but God has not. Question number three. God's priority for your life does not include the state of experiment. God's priority does not include the state of experiment. It is not up to us to ignore God, nor lies, so that God can be faithful to come and find us. That is not the lesson of Jacob's life at all. God doesn't want our lives to be a Jacob experiment. Instead, he wants us to submit to him at the beginning and allow him to work out his plan steadily through our lives. Look at the difference between Jacob's life and his son Joseph's life. God intended his life Jacob from the day of his birth, and Jacob set out to make it happen himself and ruin the rest of his life. Joseph, on the other hand, was given things by God as he was going to be blessed and immediately found himself in a pit and on his way to Egypt as a slave. But Joseph submitted to that process and he stayed faithful to God and let God work it out his own way. And sure enough, Joseph was elevated and blessed at the beginning of his life. Jacob did not get blessed until near the end of his life. The sooner you let God have his way with you, the sooner you will continue to stand for his blessing and you will have success. Thank you for this example of Jacob and the Christ that you have put in your brain. Come on your side. And thank you for the story of Joseph, and we're beginning the next time. That will give us the symbols of wanting to remain faithful to you for our entire life.